Today's Thursday, September 6th. Welcome back from end of summer and your summer. This is, for me, one of the best times of year. It is like the new year, you know, back to school, back to work, back to our routines. I know for some, they may be mourning the end of the summer, but as enjoyable as the summer is, the fall brings, especially here in the East Coast, a new season, a change of weather, football season, which starts today, and just a lot of new energy moving in the different ventures and the business side. There's a lot of activity. People on the staff are rejuvenated. They're refreshed. They're coming back to work with kind of a clean slate and ready to get to work. So our theme today is going to be an emotional topic, a polarizing topic. We're going to talk about something we love to discuss, which is sports and politics. And in particular, as most of you may have heard or seen by now, the Nike Colin Kaepernick endorsement and campaigns, which we're going to take a close look at. The theme and the title we gave to the show today, and usually we don't do this till after we're done, since largely what we talk about here and what I come to the table with is unscripted. I have some ideas, you know, I have a little couple notes here I put on the table, but I like to allow it to be a free flow expression. And we do like to hit on some current events and things that people are generally concerned about and talking about. And nothing's more popular at the moment than this NFL anthem policy debate. Colin Kaepernick obviously been banished from the league and has a whole lawsuit going against the NFL right now, which the NFL tried very hard to dismiss, and the courts ruled that they wouldn't dismiss it. So we're going to see that during this NFL season, we're going to see this case go to court, which isn't what the NFL wanted. And then lo and behold, 2 days before the NFL season begins, we hear about Nike using Colin Kaepernick as their cover person for their new ad campaign, which I think is brilliant. We're going to take actually a look at the commercial, and we can see this quote here from Kaepernick: "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. Just do it." So from a branding and marketing standpoint, you could see, you know, the brilliance, the simplicity, and the power behind it, you know, even if it evokes emotions for certain people that don't support, you know, what he has stood for. But for those that have supported him, this, I think, takes it to another level and puts a conversation that was mainstream at another level of mainstream, giving one of the world's biggest brands getting behind Kaepernick in this sense. So yeah, we titled the show All In, because there's a lot of topics related to the risks that Kaepernick has taken and what it takes even for athletes to be competitive and put their all on the line, to how that applies, you know, to each of us in our life and the risks that we have to take in order to achieve things. You know, I've had my own personal battles and struggles with a level of that risk-taking in the form of gambling, sports gambling, and it's been a long and interesting road, and I'm gonna hopefully get to share part of that story today in the later part of our session here. So let's get right back to it. The Kaepernick debate, if you've watched different clips of the show here, you've heard from me before on this topic. I support what he's doing. I believe it's these are real issues that he's brought to the table, and other NFL players in various ways have supported him. No one took the same level of risk that he did. He's kind of fallen on the sword, in a sense, in terms of his football career, which has been non-existent in the last couple of years. And now you hear and see that this large global brand has continued to use him. He's been on their roster, but now they're finally featuring him after 2 years of not really doing much. So this is obviously something that wasn't taken lightly. If you just look at it on a business level, this is a public company, it's an American brand, and you know there's gonna be reactions. There's already been reactions on Wall Street. The stock's gone down a little bit, and some people are now talking about boycotting Nike. They're not gonna buy Nike sneakers. So there's a lot of interesting, you know, debate and talk about this, different articles, different points of view One I saw today, I forget where, saying that Nike's looking to turn activism into capitalism. Haven't read the article yet, but just an interesting and catchy kind of title there. So I think there's a lot to break down here and distill. I want to focus on a couple of aspects of it. First, why don't we take a look at the actual commercial, or at least the first commercial itself, which again, the timing is perfect. I mean, here you have this case about to go to court during the NFL season, the season starting today, September 6th, which I'm very excited about because I'm actually a huge fan of the NFL in terms of the game. I love the game. A lot of controversy around the game in the last several years, but something that came to my mind when thinking about a blog entry on this topic is, let's not cry for the NFL because they might be sliding on ratings a little bit or struggling with certain things related to, again, mostly TV ratings, but it's still the largest global sports league in the world, the most valuable. The franchise owners, 32 franchises, are some of the wealthiest people in the world. So no one's struggling or suffering in the NFL office or on the ownership level, and even at the player level. Let's be honest, these guys make a good deal of money. They do put their bodies on the line, and that's certainly something to be needs to be watched, you know, with the kind of injuries and the head injuries. So anyway, the season does start tonight. So the timing of this advertising campaign and putting Kaepernick as the poster child for it is not ironic. And obviously this didn't happen by mistake. So I think it's very well timed for Nike. A good business move, or an interesting business move. We'll see in the long term if it's quote unquote good on a business financial money level, but certainly from a social media and an impact level, and talk about making a statement. So is this a brand making a statement in terms of their ethics and their kind of views on what's happening? Or is this a brand capitalizing on a polarizing figure and issue for the sake of just having their brand more widely publicized? So some interesting things there and conversations I've had with some very smart people, including some friends I have that work at Nike. And there's some people who think this is kind of a, to use the word of one particular friend of mine, fetishizing, you know, Kaepernick and this issue, this whole social injustice issue, for the sake of profits. So you're certainly going to have that stance, and I can see that point for those that stand by it. So that being said, all in, let's take a look at a clip here of the ad featuring Kaepernick's voice, and then he kind of comes into the commercial a little bit later on.
If people say your dreams are crazy, if they laugh at what you think you can do, good. Stay that way. Because what non-believers fail to understand is that calling a dream crazy is not an insult. It's a compliment. Don't try to be the fastest runner in your school or the fastest in the world. Be the fastest ever. Don't picture yourself wearing OBJ's jersey. Picture OBJ wearing yours. Don't settle for homecoming queen or linebacker. Do both. Lose 120 pounds and become an Ironman after beating a brain tumor. Don't believe you have to be like anybody to be somebody. If you're born a refugee, don't let it stop you from playing soccer for the national team at age 16. Don't become the best basketball player on the planet. Be bigger than basketball. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. When they talk about the greatest team in the history of the sport, make sure it's your team. If you have only one hand, don't just watch football. Play it at the highest level. And if you're a girl from Compton, don't just become a tennis player. Become the greatest athlete ever. Yeah, that's more like it. So don't don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
Pretty intense. Intense stuff. Inspirational. Inspirational. And, that's why I always draw on sports. I mean, having grown up as an athlete, playing, following others, watching these guys, men and women, boys and girls, you know, putting their hearts out there on the field, going all in, you know, buying into the philosophy of the team, of the coach, of their teammates, working for each other, fighting for each other, to achieve a purpose, to achieve a goal, to follow a vision, to follow their dreams, crazy as it may sound or be. So that's, obviously a common theme, a popular theme, and one that I think Nike really captured well. And I think using, you know, these kind of authentic figures like Kaepernick and obviously others that are featured on the Nike roster, LeBron, Serena Williams, you know, the best at their craft and people who are inspirational in a lot of ways, I think it really hits home. And, kind of reminds me, I was watching this tennis match the other night. Didn't intend to, you know, these matches, US Open matches are great, but they also can go on for hours. And I just picked it up in the second set. It was Nadal against Thiem, who's fairly decent player as well, but never been on this level or stage. And it was just incredible. I mean, the way he had Nadal going and pushed him to the limit, really pushed him to the limit. Five-set match, fifth-set tiebreaker. And you have these two men, these two athletes, you know, that trained all their lives for this profession, for this moment, you know, in front of millions of people. Putting their hearts on the line, going all in, giving everything they've got to achieve something, to succeed, and pushing each other at that, you know, one being, you know, better than the other, one point to the next, and pushing the other to kind of go somewhere deeper. So I just kind of posted it on a couple of my social media, a picture I took of Nadal after this grueling, you know, five-hour match, which I'll showcase here. And you can just see, I mean, this is just like a kind of a sigh of relief and just a moment for him on center court a few minutes after shaking hands. He jumped across the net, gave you know, Thiem a big hug for kind of that five-hour drama that they shared, which, again, was really inspiring to see. And it's always inspiring for me to see, you know, someone who works to be the best and maybe makes it look easy. On this night, it certainly wasn't easy. But it just goes to another key point that the hours and hours of kind of preparation and work and dedication, you know, that has to go into, you know, mastering one's craft. As I kind of said in the LinkedIn post, you know, it takes everything you've got, you know, to be the best, and then a little something extra that you didn't think you had. Well, you know, when the gas in the tank is empty and you go in there and you pull something else out. To achieve something. And just kind of bringing that full circle and back to kind of Kaepernick and Nike, I'll kind of sum up some different thoughts here. I mean, I think obviously for Nike, we'll see what the move manifests into, but I think it's a respectable move. I think to take a stance where you know you're going to not be able to sit on a fence and appeal to everyone, you know, you take a position, you take a stance. I think with their core customer base, which are mostly younger folks, you're going to find more connection to, you know, the model that Kaepernick serves, and Kaepernick tying into these other star athletes as well as these human stories, you know, these non-sports stories of people that just kind of overcame disease or the brain tumor or, you know, having a physical kind of injury, or the person that had one hand and played football, the girl playing football. I mean, a lot of it ties into sports, but these are really human inspiration stories. And I think that's obviously something that from a marketing standpoint, evokes a lot of emotion. So I think kudos to, you know, the agency and the Nike marketing team and the business decisions that supported this. And I would say I do feel from them, although Nike's certainly not a perfect company, as most multinational global companies aren't, I do think it's a big step and a big statement, and I think there is some level of ethics behind it where they are making a statement given the platform they have. And I think for Kaepernick, yeah, he's getting paid and he's got this major endorsement, and good for him. I know he's giving back plenty through his foundation and through the work he's doing, and he's seeing this as an opportunity and a platform to get the message out to a wider audience, not just in the U.S., but globally. So much respect to him for that. Obviously, if people on the other side, including the president of the U.S., Trump, who we talk about a bit here on the show as well, saying this is, you know, a terrible example, a terrible thing for Nike, you know, and so on and so forth. And so be it. You're going to have those opinions and the naysayers, and that's where it takes courage and it takes a certain level of bravery and that kind of all-in spirit, or as he says, believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything, which for Kaepernick included his actual football playing career. So again, much respect to him. I think that leads into, you know, the next segment of our discussion here today, which is about the NFL season coming up. So I'll give you, you know, kind of a brief, you know, preview and some key thoughts I have, obviously, going into this season. As I said, I am a supporter of the game. I do love the game. I didn't play the game myself, but you know, I was more of a soccer guy and tennis, but always enjoyed watching football, you know, since I was 4 or 5 years old. And I think the game has a lot of great analogies to life. Again, there's the teamwork aspect. You know, there's the aspect of the struggle, kind of going against the forces, which are basically these men, these titans clashing to essentially achieve their respective goals and pushing each other to bring out the best in each other. I think it's an amazing game. I do think there's a bunch of health risks associated with it, so I'm always happy to see the league improving its rules in a way that protects the players. And specifically this year, there are some rule changes around the way players can tackle in terms of not being able to lower their head and initiate a certain type of contact that has been proven to cause head injuries as well as neck injuries. I mean, you have players like Ryan Shazier, formerly from the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of their best players, who got carted off last year with a major head and ultimately spinal injury, was hardly able to walk and is still now over a year later. Obviously, his football playing career is over, and he almost lost his ability to walk. So it shows you how dangerous the sport can be. And maybe it's, you know, part of the balance or what goes with the territory when these guys get paid, you know, millions of dollars. And ultimately, it's their choice, you know, to take these risks. So again, it's good to see the league add rules to improve player safety. You know, for years, the league tried to deny and avoid this discussion or this connection between playing and these head injuries and concussions and all the other side effects that come with, you know, CTE, and all the research that's been done since then has proven that there is a correlation there. And the NFL, you know, knowing they can't deny that anymore, is now at least publicly showing that they're embracing these safety rules more. I think it's absolutely crazy that the league is talking about going to an 18-week season from 16 weeks. And the players, certainly in the what's called the CBA, or the collective bargaining agreements, which I believe next year there's kind of a new CBA that needs to be formed. The current one expires. So it's going to be, again, all chips down, you know, and both sides kind of putting their different issues on the table to negotiate. And you have the owner's side and the players' union side. And the players' union, again, wants to protect players, wants to protect their rights, their health, their longevity, their ability to earn money over a long and healthy, hopefully, career. and playing an extra two games a season, games that count, non-preseason, I think is certainly going to put them at greater risk. So I know the players will be arguing against it or looking for a bigger cut of the revenue. We'll see how the negotiation goes. And then it's always interesting to see owners like Jerry Jones, which unfortunately is the owner of the team that I cheer for, the Cowboys, being on the front lines of pushing these issues. He's told everyone on his team they can't stand or protest for the anthem, or else they'll be fired. And he's also pushing for the extra two games. So really makes me want to not cheer for the Cowboys, but, you know, that's something I still, you know, have to work with. And that's a personal thing that I'll see how it goes forward. But I was a fan of the team way before he was the owner. So even though he came in and provided some good times in terms of a few Super Bowls, it's been a long drought in terms of winning for the Cowboys. And I don't really see that changing this year because there's a lot of good teams in the league. But more importantly than that, I think his ethical stance is I was a kid when I started cheering for them at 4 or 5 years old. Now I'm an adult and, looking to reevaluate why we pick the teams we do and how to kind of what those attachments mean to us. But again, that being said, the season does kick off tonight with a Thursday night game. I follow the league to such a level of detail that I actually, pick and kind of prognosticate every single game. There's 267 games over a 21-week season, and I've been doing this for quite some time for fun. It's one of these crazy hobbies, like the theme of the video is something that a lot of the things I do people think are very crazy and meticulous, but I enjoy them and it gives me an outlet for personal satisfaction and allows me to kind of enjoy the game and the season and put my predictive skills, to work and my knowledge of the teams, the personalities, the ebb and flow of how coaches, teams, owners mesh together to form kind of a unit and pursue a goal. So you have 32 teams, again, across 21 weeks, and there'll be, one team left standing holding that Lombardi Trophy come February 2019, even though it is generally a 2018 season played over, September through December and then playoffs in January. So as far as a quick preview goes, I think the NFC is obviously the stronger conference with teams like the Rams, the Eagles, the Saints, the Vikings being probably the four strongest. But last year at this time, no one was talking about the Eagles, and now they're the top team in the league. So I think there's always going to be a surprise team or two. I hope it could be the Cowboys this year, but that wouldn't be my prediction from an objective standpoint. I think those four that I just named on the NFC side that are predictable, as well as the Packers, who are also up there, and people talking about the Falcons, although I'm not sold on them. I think they're going through a decline. If I had to predict a Super Bowl matchup at this time, I would say it's going to come down in the NFC to the Rams and the Vikings. And in the AFC, I would go with, I'm going to say it's going to be a decline season for the Patriots. They've been on top for so many years. But, Tom Brady over 40 now and the defense being a little weak, I think it's the year that teams start to catch up to them. They'll still be there in the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be as powerful as they have been. So I'd look for the Jaguars, in the AFC, as well as the Texans, to be and the Chargers. Those would be my three teams for the AFC. And if I had to pick one coming out, at this point, I'm going to go ahead and say I think the Texans, if Deshaun Watson, their quarterback who was injured, as well as J.J. Watt, who were both out with injuries last year, could come back and stay healthy. I'm going to say the Texans will be that ascending team in the AFC. Texans and Chargers, I'll say, go to the championship game with the Texans moving on to the Super Bowl. Not the Texas team that I wanted to see there, but the one I think has a better chance. And on the NFC side, I'll say Rams, Vikings. And of those, it could be very interesting. Depends on how Kirk Cousins, the new quarterback of the Vikings, fares. The Rams certainly added a lot of pieces on defense, which should make them better. But I'll go ahead and say I think the Vikings would edge the Rams out in a championship game, just because I believe in Cousins a little more than Goff, the Rams quarterback. So let's say Vikings-Texans for a Super Bowl prediction. I'll take it a step further here and say, what I think is more important than the Super Bowl winner prediction is this kind of week-to-week prognostication. And I'll share with you a little bit about my process, and this is, part of my personal journey. When you look at gambling, I think it's like all the sins, as they say, or vices. It's certainly one that's very dangerous, very, very dangerous, and I experienced that firsthand. I was a freshman in college at the age of 18, a huge sports fan, used to watch the games in the lounge or wherever there was a TV, especially football. And this older kid, a few years older, saw me my interest in the games and asked me, "Hey, do you want to bet on a game? Put a little money on it. It'll make the game a little more interesting." And I'd never done it before then, so kind of wasn't really interested. But he talked me into it, and I put $5 on a game. And yeah, it did make the game more interesting. Even though it was only $5, I had something else at stake besides just cheering for a team. Or it could have been two teams that you don't even care about, but now all of a sudden the game's interesting because you've got some skin in the game. So you've got some chips on the table there. Lo and behold, during the course of that season, I got sucked in and ended up losing like $800 that I didn't have, because you're allowed, or at least at that time were able to, through these bookies, put some bets in, and they'd give you a credit account or line, and there'd come a point in time where your credit would run out and you'd have to pay up. And so I had to borrow money or do something to come up with the money, and my season was done. And that was interesting, because next season, when I was a sophomore, the season started in September, and I jumped back in, now with 2 feet, betting in different places, having multiple books. And that season ended, I won't go through the whole story, but it ended up with a bigger loss, let's put it that way. I actually had a bigger win or bigger gain, but the book that I had the bigger gain with folded and didn't pay out. So I had to be left with a debt on one side and someone that owed me money that wasn't able to pay on the other side. So again, I was in a position to have to come up with some funds and pay out. So I quit after that, focused on my studies, focused on playing soccer, and thought it was out of my system until a few years later, after college, when I was actually making my own money and had money and lived in the city, I got sucked in again. So I've been through a few bouts, and then after that period out of college, when I was around 25, I called it quits, and I said, this is going to potentially sidetrack my whole life, because an addiction isn't just the title of something. It's not the drink or whatever it is, eating too much food or, again, in this case, gambling. It's not the action itself. It's our emotional kind of attachment to that, and it's the loss of emotional control, and it's the way these things can potentially take over our sense of reason, our sense of grounding, and just kind of sidetrack or take over our lives. That's how you know there's a problem. And I think I was really on that edge and then went over that edge due to my own kind of emotional immaturity and desire to maybe make money without working for it or whatever it may be. There was a series of things, and I decided to put it aside. I had people challenging me to say, you need to quit and promise you're never going to do this again. And I said, no, I can't really make that promise. I think on the other side of this, there's also a certain interest I have in something. And there's a certain skill that I do feel I have here, which is the ability to understand, A, I enjoyed the game, you know, outside of putting money on it. And B, I understood the game and I understand the game enough to kind of have a sense of the trends. So those first two things are areas that I could hone in on. The third piece is the ability to kind of control, you know, whatever you want to call it, a wager or an investment, and just that whole act of engaging in taking risks, taking some financial risk. I think risks in life are something we face every day, whether it's financial, emotional, in relationships, with our careers, with the words we use when we speak out to people or confront, you know, a certain kind of danger. And we don't want to create unnecessary danger for ourselves, right? But sometimes we have to push limits or kind of stay true to our strengths and our goals and our aspirations. So I think, you know, taking risks with money is something that we have to obviously be vigilant about. And we could be gambling on, you know, cryptocurrency or stocks or any kind of investment we make. When we start a business, we take a gamble. So I think what I was able to do was, you know, channel that kind of desire or tolerance for risk, which is something I had strong in me, that would put me on the edge of, you know, as per Kaepernick's words, a crazy factor. Of taking risk and taking chances and channel that energy into what I've done for the last 20 years, since that time till now. And by the way, in all that time, I haven't gone back to sports gambling, although I did create a system for fun as a hobby. I call it NFL Portfolio. And I actually want to share quickly a screen in a moment, but I'll share with you my crazy system that I've been, where I've been predicting every single game, every season, for the last 7 years, with a hypothetical portfolio of money that started at $100,000 back in 2011. That was season one, and this is about to be, as of today, season eight. And in the first seven seasons, my portfolio from $100,000 hypothetical money is now close to 600,000. So every season for seven straight seasons, I've continued to win. I believe the minimum annual growth was 20%, and the maximum was like 250%. So every season I've been consistently winning. As you know, if you do any kind of gambling, whether it's in casinos or sports, if you could even get your winning percentage on picks above 52%, you're a winner, right? So even just a fraction over 50%, over hundreds of plays, thousands of plays, which is what happens every season. There's 267 games, but you have the line and then you have the over-under. So right there, you have 520 opportunities to make selections that you could put allocations towards. So what I did is I applied my kind of crazy math brain into this system, and I could share with you some snippets of my my spreadsheet here. Here's a dashboard, right? It may be hard to see some of the numbers, but here's like a dashboard from 2017. You could see all the weeks on the left side there, week 1 to 21. And then you can see within each week how many picks were made, what my win-loss record was. You could see anything highlighted in green here means it was a 60% plus winning week. And you could see the actual, again, hypothetical earnings per week. 54,000 that week. You could see here the weekly earnings in this column. And then you can see the starting balance for that year, where last year was 389,000. And then the ending balance down here was close to 550,000. So that's a snippet. And then in a particular week, you could see, let's see, a good winning week here, week 15. You could see what happens. I list out all the games, predict all the scores of each game. This is for fun. This is what I do for fun. You know, again, call me crazy. But and maybe it's been a channel for my, you know, call it vice or tolerance for risk, although technically there's no risk being taken. I'm just testing out and sharpening my predictive skills in this sense. But there's certainly a part of me that wanted to prove to myself and maybe others to a degree that I could kind of control and manage that emotional control element and actually channel the skills, knowledge, and interest I have in this area in a positive way. So I've now taken the 7 years of track record, and as of today, I'll quickly show, we put up a website, and it is called NFLportfolio.com. You can see we've got a logo that looks a little bit like, you know, the NFL logo. We're trying to keep it different enough to avoid any kind of copyright issues. And on the site, you know, we talk about the methodology. And then every week I'll be posting predictions and results. Just again, a little hobby of mine that I think certainly has interest. I've been keeping a small list of 20, 25 friends that I know are interested in this space and sharing every week with them my predictions and results in a very, again, methodical way. And it's been something they've been very intrigued by. And so now we're sharing that with a wider audience, and we'll see if people are interested in subscribing to receive this information. But again, for me and my personal journey, it's I struggled a little bit with whether how much to talk about this and whether to share this this crazy kind of hobby of mine in a public fashion or even publish something on it. Again, figuring that, you know, one of the other businesses I'm involved in, obviously KidCoin, is all geared around financial literacy and being responsible with money and managing how young people learn about how to get the things they want and how to manage the resources they have and how to be responsible with that. So, you know, just the term gambling is kind of like this no-no type of, again, vice or sin or whatever you want to call it, activity. It's obviously, by the way, legal now in most U.S. states, so it'll be very interesting to see how that changes behavior. And obviously it's a business, like any business, just the way alcohol is legal and marijuana is becoming legal. You have a lot of these things that aren't necessarily good for us that are available to us and for us. And the way I look at it and the way I've taken it in my own life has been everything's a learning experience. And even in religious texts where, you know, alcohol and other vices are shunned, if you read between the lines and really look at it carefully, it's not that, you know, these things are going to necessarily kill you, although they can if taken irresponsibly, but it's that we have to be vigilant. We have to be aware of where our thresholds are, where our weaknesses might be, where we may be susceptible. Let's say, for me, I can have a drink or two or three without going overboard, but some people can't. Once they have one or two, it just escalates, and all of a sudden it's 10 and it's a blackout, or it's something else that's a dangerous situation. So each of us is made differently with different strengths and weaknesses. And for me, I look at this example that I gave about, you know, gambling and the NFL and sports betting as something that was and probably to some level still is a vulnerability for me. And it's something to be vigilant about, and it's something that I can take and use as fuel to better understand what's under that, you know? What's under that? What are the emotional triggers that are pulled, you know, that kind of allow me to lose my awareness and consciousness when it comes to this area, losing that emotional control? And how can I get a handle on that? How can I disintegrate that and allow it to kind of dissipate or mature? How can I have a part inside of me, emotionally, mentally, be more grounded in the way I make decisions about money? So if I do start gambling again actively, you know, how to do so in a responsible way, or do so in a business-like, investment-like fashion that I've learned over the past 20 years, how to channel, you know, investments and businesses and grow revenues in a responsible way. But somewhere within that line of responsibility, there's always a level of risk. And we have to kind of be adults and grown-ups about what level of risk we're willing to take on and what impact that risk, those risks that we take, could possibly have, not just on ourselves, but on the lives of others around us. So again, cashing out your 401k to invest in the next hot startup or ICO, if it's crypto, or to gamble on that game you think is a great win, all entail major risk and are all probably inadvisable risks in most cases. So again, in our lives, if we could kind of focus in, I have these chips kind of here on the table just as a prop, and we can, you know, consider these chips like the different resources, or call it energy, money, whatever you want to call it, the different things we have in life that we might want to kind of put at risk. Maybe take a couple chips and you know, play a little bit. Or maybe diversify, you know, put in a couple chips in different areas. And some you might win. When you take risks, you certainly have a chance to win, and some you might lose. So you have to know what you're willing to lose, as Colin Kaepernick had to ask himself, and what you're able to possibly gain. Am I advising to kind of go all in when it comes to your money and resources? I think in that sense, we have to think about diversification and what's at risk. Maybe you do want to go all in to start a business, to start a new life. It's really case by case, but I think the all-in mentality and capacity is one that can deem us crazy and can deem us to be unreasonable risk takers. But you know, the entrepreneur in me says that, we certainly have to be measured in what we do and not just take all kinds of impulsive leaps. There's a difference between these impulsive leaps and jumping around and taking risks that aren't kind of well thought out or really intuitive, versus kind of following your gut, having a vision, having a dream that others may not understand or think is too risky, but sticking with that. So I think that's really the core message that that Kaepernick, you know, puts out, has put out, and is still catching a lot of flack for, but you know, is also getting a lot of support for. So I think, you know, going all in once you've tapped into what your purpose is and what your goals are, which is something we focus on a lot in our 2020 Life Vision and Time Bug content and products. It's really understanding what your resources are, what you have to put at work and at risk, coming up with a plan for it, and then going all in with that plan. And while you're doing that, being flexible and adaptable enough to reading the signs and making audibles, making adjustments along the way. I think that's another very important part of when we go all in and say we're going to achieve something, just like we do in any game, in any sport, in a football game, the plays you call change based on the way the defense shows up, based on the way, you know, once you kind of, if you're the quarterback, get up to the line and take that snap, and you look what your first and second read are. If they're not open, you have to improvise at times. So I think we need to be kind of adaptable and flexible in our approach to our goals, and one way or another, find a way to be resourceful enough to achieve them. And if we can't, get back up and try again. So that's the all-in mentality. It's kind of a never-quit attitude and approach. That's the approach that I've, you know, tried to take when it comes to my own kind of weaknesses, hobbies, and interests, ventures. And that's something that I think we see through this this latest Nike campaign, which one way or another, like it or not, support Kaepernick or not, you have to admit, it's pretty inspirational what they've done. So we'll leave you with that, and we'll be back during the course of the season to talk about how some of these things are shaping up in the league, you know, the Kaepernick case that's going, how some of these new rules can affect player safety, and, you know, other interesting issues about how kind of sports politics and business all intersect. So we'll see you next time. Take care.